Well, good morning, everybody. This morning I'd like to preach out of Isaiah chapter 40. The title of this message is, They That Wait Upon the Lord. Let us look to the Lord for a moment. Lord, I do ask that you would grant unto me this morning a ready flow of thoughts and wisdom from yourself to encourage and edify and strengthen your people as they walk your pilgrim path in this desert which has rejected you and your Son. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to read verses 28 through 31. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Now, it's very common in the church in our day for people to make applications from a passage, which application really has nothing to do with the teaching of the passage. We need to know the context, K-N-O-W, or we have no, N-O, application. In other words, we need to understand what the passage says, particularly Old Testament passages, if we're going to make an application for New Testament times. We need to understand the principles. Well, what we have in this context here, I'm going to take us back now, and we're going to work through the chapter. Because this whole promise here on the Lord giving strength to the weary and giving might to the tired is set in a particular context. And the context in this passage is the day of the Lord. Let's turn back to the beginning of this chapter. Verse 1, comfort ye my people. And in verse 2, we read, speak you comfortably to Israel, to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned, she has received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. The time of the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, is a time when the Lord is doing two things. One, he is bringing the nation of Israel to her knees till she can say, I'm sorry for my sin and my unbelief, and two, that she will look unto her Lord. And the Lord is going to forgive Israel after he has purified Israel and prepared Israel to receive the Lord Jesus, the one they rejected as their Messiah. That whole time is a time of war and trouble and battle for the nation of Israel. In verse 3, we see Elijah, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Typically fulfilled with John the Baptist in the time of Christ, exhaustively fulfilled with the literal Elijah at the second coming. In verse 4, we have the complete rearranging of the surface of the earth, which is common in the day of the Lord passages. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight. Rough places plain. In verse 5, we have the glory of the Lord revealed, which we also see in passages like Matthew 24. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it. We can keep going through this passage. We're going to see the day of the Lord everywhere. In verses 6 through 8, For example, in verse 6, all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. Man's glory is going to be like the grass in the day of the Lord. It is going to dry up and disappear. Verses 9 through 11, we can sum up with one thought. The Lord reigns in Jerusalem. Verse 10, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arms shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock, verse 11, like a shepherd. To sum up verses 15 through 24, the nations are nothing, and the nations shall be brought to nothing. The gods of the nations are nothing, and the gods of the nations shall be brought to nothing. And in verse 24, we have the Lord of hosts. Pardon me, verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. And then that brings us to verse 24. The earth shall be judged. He will take the nations. He will pull them up out of the grounds like pulling a root out of the ground. Their stock shall not take root in the earth. He shall blow upon those nations. They shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away. So as we work through this context over and over again, we see events that pertain to the day of the Lord. We see the judgment of the nations. We see the judgment of the world's dead religion. We see the Lord's glory appearing in the heavens. We see that God is the Lord of the heavens. We see the surface of the earth change. We have a definite day of the Lord context. And this puts us then into a context for the people of Israel. You think about the nation of Israel now during the 70th week. We read in Matthew 24 that except those days be shortened, now no flesh should be saved. A trial is coming upon the people of God. A trial of persecution is coming upon them, such as the world never has seen and never again shall see. The time of Jacob's trouble. The people of God in this time are going to be harried and persecuted. You know, when you look at the persecutions of the Iron Curtain and the persecutions in communist China with the underground church, you see some tremendous persecution. You look at the persecution of the Christians during World War II under Nazi Germany and the persecution of the Jews. You begin to get an idea of what it's going to be like to profess the name of the Lord during the 70th week. But now you take this picture of that severe persecution that you can see in your mind, that you've read about, you've heard about, and maybe some of you personally know people that have been in that kind of persecution. And now you take and add to this picture the fact that in those days, in those places, there is sometimes places to run and hide. And you take that out of the picture, there is no place to run and no place to hide. This is extant over the entire globe and not in just some chunk of the globe. Now you add to this modern technology, modern police, Big Brother government, makes a very difficult situation. These people of God have nowhere to go, whether true Jews or whether Gentile proselytes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel. In this 70th week, the temple is defiled. The Antichrist has sat in the temple and declared himself to be God and demanded that all men worship him as God on pain of death. Everything is turned upside down. The truth has fallen in the streets. Most of Israel is running after false messiahs, whether the Antichrist himself or whether they're running after some joker in the desert who says, "Don't follow the Antichrist, come follow me." Everything is defiled. Everything is compromised. The majority of the professing saints of God are more like Lot sitting in the gates of Sodom than they are like Abraham on the plains of Mamre. The saints are all weak and tired and discouraged. Some of them are languishing in prison. Some of them are starving. Some of them are dying of thirst. And they're all tired. And they're all longing for the coming of the Lord. Everything is wrong and everything is turned upside down. And it is in this context of all these years of judgment coming to a head with the judgments of the day of the Lord going to crush an already trashed earth into nothing. And in this context, the Lord reveals himself in verse 28 as the inexhaustible source of strength. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the infinite God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints. He never gets weary. There is no searching of his understanding. These people are in a situation that can take the strongest men and make them weak. That can take the strongest hearts and then bring them to the point of despair. And then the Lord takes these despairing, broken, tired, weary saints and says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord God never faints. The Lord is never weary. And I am your inexhaustible source of strength. You know, every believer that has ever lived has gone through trials that tax their faith, tax their patience, cause them to fall to their knees wondering, why? Why did this have to happen? Why did we have to go through such trials? Why such difficult times? Why did this have to turn ugly instead of good? And we can look to the Lord and draw strength from an inexhaustible source of strength, one whose understanding has no measure. You know, in the day of the Lord, it says in verse 30, even the young men shall faint. And in our trials, we often find, no matter how strong we are, we think we are, we can be brought to the point of fainting. But I love this passage. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, I personally take this verse literally. We read in the scriptures at one point that Elijah went for 40 days straight running. And I believe that that is the literal application here. Not necessarily 40 days, but this is literally running. We read of Moses at one point spending 40 days on the mountain with neither food nor drink nor sleep. Elijah and Moses were supernaturally strengthened by strength that transcends normal human strength. This is not success and motivation rah-rah stuff. where you take a tired person and he gets a second wind and he pulls himself up by his bootstraps and cinches up his boot and says, okay, I'm ready to man it up for another day. This is when human strength is absolutely exhausted and there is no rah-rah success motivation stuff that's going to get you another inch. Everything human fails. This is the inexhaustible source of our strength from the living God above. And rise up on wings as eagles. I take this literally too. In the day of the Lord, we read in Matthew 24 and a few other passages of Scripture that the angels of the Lord shall go out and they shall gather the people of God from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And they shall literally be lifted up on wings and brought to the land of Israel, one to fight with the people of God in the day of the Lord, as we read about in the book of Zechariah and a couple of the minor prophets, and two, to inherit their promises, to be there with their Messiah in the day of the Messiah. But there's a great application for us here. As believers in the church age, we are not very likely to literally get picked up by a literal angel and flown somewhere. I won't say it's impossible. I'm not going to limit God, but this is not the way God typically works in this age. But it is 100% certain that there are ministering angels assigned to you that watch out for you and minister unto you and protect you and care for you. This is guaranteed. You know, in the day of the Lord, the people of Israel, we read about in the book of Zechariah, are going to fight with the Lord, and the governors of the nation will be like a hearth of fire. And the man on the street will be like David, and the descendants of David will be as Jehovah God himself. And there's an application for us too as believers. This strengthening that we read about in this passage, this is not so that a believer can go out here on the playground of the world and play the games of the world and play the system of the world and be successful in the world's eyes, by the world's standards. This strengthening here is for believers who are out there fighting the battles of the Lord. Battles that you cannot fight with the world's weapons and with the world's tools and with the world's ways and the world's blessing and still honor God and still have the success that we ought to have. So we go out and we fight the Lord's battles. Whether the battle to preach the gospel, whether the battle to teach, whether the battle to raise our children in the way that honors the Lord, whether the battle to encourage the sheep around us, whether the battle for us to maintain our own heart, whether the battle to be pure in an impure world. No matter which battle we're looking at, we find strength from the Lord to rise up on wings as eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. There is no battle that we can face as a believer that is not answered by this promise and similar promises in the Word of God. But you know, one of the biggest difficulties that we face in tapping into this source of strength, and some of the gentlemen were speaking about this in between the meetings this morning, it boils down to humility. We have to be willing to come to the point where we admit we have no strength, we have no ability, we're broken, and we are empty. And it's in this state, this circumstance, when we grant with our tongue to the Lord that we are a clay vessel, cracked, broken, chipped, without any glory of our own, without any honor of our own, without any beauty of our own, and that we need the glory, the strength, the help, and the glory and the beauty of the Lord Jesus in us. And then that vessel is filled. And then we have the strength that we need. Then we have the ability to rise up on wings as eagles. We have the ability to run and not be weary. We have the ability to walk and not faint. And I have discovered my own self. I can look at myself and say, you know, the last few days here has been pretty dry. Something's just not working the way it's not working. I'm not finding that victorious mindset, that victorious spirit that I need to have. And then I realize, somehow in the last few days, got unplugged. This power of God isn't something that we need to go out in the desert for and spend 40 days and 40 nights in the desert for. We don't need to somehow find the right mountain and get on top of the right mountain. We don't have to order some $9.99 CD from some great preacher on the radio. This is just a matter of spending a few minutes in the closet with the Lord and getting things straight. Getting the order right. Lord, I'm a weak vessel. Chipped and cracked, I keep forgetting that. Sorry. Plug right back in. That strength is available immediately. And as long as we're plugged in. I have, as a young believer, I think one of my biggest mistakes was to keep thinking that this depends on my strength, that this depends on my faithfulness, that this depends on me being some great spiritual giant. Takes many, many decades sometimes to figure out that I'm never going to be a spiritual giant. I'm never going to be great. I'm never going to be strong. I'm always going to be a cracked, chipped vessel. The only strength I have, if there's anything great about me, if there's any victory, if there's anything noble, anything good, it's come from heaven. It's come, as it says in John, except ye abide in me, you can do nothing. It's just a simple matter of realizing, if I don't plug in every day into the Lord Jesus, there's no light like a lamp. There's no warmth. There's no strength. There's no energy. We don't need more books and tapes. We don't need fancy programs. We just need our God, Savior. And we will have the strength that we need to do what we've been called to do, to be faithful like we've been called to be faithful. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that when we look unto you, we are looking unto an inexhaustible source of energy. We thank you that you are the sun, as we heard this morning, that gives us warmth and strength and energy and food. And all we have to do is come to you and draw our light and our heat and our strength and our warmth and our energy from yourself. And we can do all that you ask us to do, and we can be all that you ask us to be. Lord, help us to keep the order straight, that we are weak and you are strong, that we can do nothing and you can do all things. And help us to be all that we ought to be and can be, for your glory. Amen.